There you go. Fantastic. So everyone's muted other than me at this point. And our call is successfully being recorded. So I get two thumbs up for those successes. Thank you all for calling. Really excited for everyone who's here tonight. Also very, very excited to have another great guest speaker here to join us. We are really excited for all of the new folks. And if you have any questions, you can always reach us at the Facebook group. You can contact any of us, but you can also email us at lhonlive@gmail.com if you have any questions. I'll go over a few guidelines here quickly and for any newcomers, just kind of what to expect during the call. So as I said, the main purpose of this call is really just to connect with people. We realized the power over 2 years ago that being able to speak to others who you immediately can connect with because you have so many shared experiences and didn't even realize it. So you'll find that many people on this call have stories very similar to your own in a way that will be surprising, maybe even weird in some way. So later on, we'll invite our guest speaker, Bob Banks, to share some of his story. And for the newcomers here, it may even be kind of exciting how similar your experiences are to his. So he will kind of share a bit of his story, who he is, his interests, and everything that makes Bob who he is. He is affected with LHON. I will go ahead and share that. However, these calls aren't only for people who are affected. I know we have a number of Bob's family members on the call this evening, and we encourage family members, people who are friends or family of people who are affected, people who are just interested in the condition, anyone is welcome to be a part of this call, and we're really excited to have everyone. That said, Bob will talk about a number of things, and we welcome questions. However, there are a few topics that we try to steer away from as much as we can. This is obviously a call of people who are not professionals on LHON. We are not doctors. We are not lawyers. We do not know too much when it comes to that. We all have our own experiences, but for that reason, we try to stay away from medical recommendations, legal recommendations, and anything that would kind of be adjacent to that too much. But if you have any questions, feel free to raise them, and we'll field everything we can. With that said, I will go ahead and introduce our guest speaker, and I don't want to steal any of his thunder, so I will let Bob begin speaking. Bob, at any point in time, you can press *7. I'm sorry I didn't give you this heads up. If you press *7, it will unmute your line, and you can begin sharing with everyone. I think I just heard him join. Is that you, Bob?
That's me.
There you are. Thank you. You sound great.
Wherever I go, there I am. So welcome, everybody. My name is Bob Banks. I'm in Northern California, on the nicer side of California from where Maria's at, but just kidding. Had to throw that out there. Not often she's on mute, and I can and kid her a little bit. But anyway, first of all, I'd say how great is this that we have, like Andy referred to, we have a forum such as this, along with our Facebook group, that is a tremendous support group where we can, you know, ask questions, hear people share their experience, strength, and hope, and learn from others, right? Learn from their experiences, get the strength from others share. So hopefully I can offer something that somebody can take away today and utilize for their strength as well. So, you know, I just want to say for Andy, Maria, I know Lissa, and probably a lot of others that have put not only this call and the Facebook together, just think about what it would be like if none of this was here, how alone we would all feel. So I just have to say thanks. All right. As far as myself, just I'm pretty plain Jane, so to speak. But, you know, I have pretty normal upbringing. I'm 57 years old, and I have a wife of about 32 years, I think. I hope she's not on the call listening, but I think it's around 32 years. A couple kids, girl and a boy, 29 and 26, so that puts me at pretty old age. I'm really blessed to have a really great family. I have I come from a family of three sisters and no brothers. My mom, as you heard, is on the phone call, very supportive. And she had a number of siblings, one of which is on the call, my Uncle Gary. He's very interested in this area because he worked, his career was in this area. And I share with him all the articles I get and all the clinical trials I get because I know he's very interested in this area because he worked in this space. So it's always appreciative to get his feedback as well. As far as my work career and what I do, what I've done, what I did, I am a portfolio manager, which is sort of a high-level project manager dealing with projects at the 50,000-foot level. I work for a large healthcare firm, which is across the United States and various parts of the United States. I enjoy what I do in my work because it has meaning, right? It's healthcare. It has results directly impact people's lives. And for that, I really enjoy that aspect of it. It's not just, you know, pushing pennies at a bank and that sort of thing. So, you know, I really realize that there's true impact to people's lives. And as you all know, with all the healthcare reform and re-reform and whatever else might happen in the near future, there's a lot of work to do out there. And I really enjoy that. So I've been in the space for most of my career in the healthcare area, kind of on and off different companies, but that's not of interest to most people, I'm sure. Like I said, my mom and dad raised the four of us, two older sisters, one younger, and of those sisters, because I know that's important for most of us, of those sisters, only one of them had kids, and she had three daughters. So, as most of you know, that's the path of the potential mutation of that gene. So, I did have to sit down with my oldest sister, who has three daughters, and explain LHON early on after I talked to my geneticist and explained the potential there, and we both agreed to what we were going to tell her daughters. And we did that, and it was very well accepted. And, you know, at least they have that in their back pocket on how they want to use that moving forward in their lives, right? But my main message to them was, don't stop living your life. And so what I found is, as I became part of this new family, that nobody wants to belong to, right? Nobody asked to belong to part of this LHON family. But thank goodness it's out there, right? Thank goodness that that there is a support group, as I mentioned, and that there is something for us all to have a voice in, to ask questions in. And it's a family, again, that nobody really cares to belong to. Maybe nobody knew existed. But I, for one, am very blessed and thankful that it's out there for us all to participate in. So about a week ago or so, Andy contacted me and asked if I'd be willing to share my story here with y'all. And it's kind of ironic because I'm coming up almost exactly at my 2-year anniversary of first being affected and diagnosed, as you'll hear as I move on here. So I couldn't say no to that. So it's, like I said, I've been affected for about 2 years. What I'd like to do first is sort of break down my share a little bit of experience, strength, and hope with you all, and break it down sort of my life before LHON, which is the boring part, and then move on to as I became affected and then afterwards and see where we go from there. As I mentioned, you know, I have two kids and a big family, mostly on my mother's side. So we used to have large family gatherings and such. And I bring that up because there was never anything like this that came up. We had a great, loving, big family on my mom's side. She was one of, I think, 11 siblings, I believe. So there's a lot of cousins and cousins of cousins, and I don't know what you call the second, third cousins, and et cetera, et cetera. So there's quite a few at these large family gatherings. But again, there was no blindness, there was no major sickness, there was no nothing major that any of us were aware of at the time. My hobbies have been always baseball, football, softball, hiking, and traveling more recently, home improvement projects, et cetera. I've been an Oakland A's season ticket holder for 29 years up till recently. So I still root for my Oakland A's because nobody else will. A pretty normal life, like I said. You know, after we became married, my wife and I settled down, bought a home, and started a family. And everything was very normal, right? We put the kids through school, focused on that. I became heads over heels involved with all their sports, so I coached all their various sports, and I got sucked in. And I loved every aspect of it. So I was originally raised with my sisters and such down in Southern California in Santa Barbara. I believe there's somebody in our LHON family here that is down in Santa Barbara, California, so shout out to them. And about 30 years ago, I think, we moved up to Northern California. Well, I came up to Northern California to go to college. I went back to Southern Cal for my first job out of college and attended USC, go SC. Started a family down there and then migrated up north here to about 29, 30 years ago. And like I said before, I really didn't have any health issues, you know, growing up. I never even had a broken bone. There was nothing severely wrong and such. So I was kind of on that cruise control in life. You know, I was very established in my career, and I had a great family. The kids were going, getting through college and stuff. And just recently, the last one finished his college career. So, again, everything was just on the cruise control of life. So I had no worries. I got into umpiring baseball. I coached for 18 years all the way up to the high school level. I then got into umpiring. I umpired at the high school level for about 5 years, and I was very active in that, and I was progressing on up the sort of side career path on that as well. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And then about April of 2015, that's when I say the shit went down. So, sorry for the wording there, but that's how I look at it, when the shit went down. And really what happened is I was driving along one day on the way to umpire a game, of all things. And I you know, you literally look out of one eye or the other, but I happened to look out of one eye, and I thought, gosh, there's something on my eye. It's kind of smudgy. And I thought, oh, something's just in it. It must be sleep in my eye. Few rubs, or maybe tomorrow it'll be gone. And I noticed it didn't go away. And it didn't go away for about a week because, you know, guys just don't ask for help. So I didn't ask for help. And I'd just gone to the optometrist for a checkup, and I had 20/20 vision. That was about a month before that. So I didn't need to go to the doctor. I just need to get rid of that smudge on my left eye. What I noticed is after a while, after a week, it didn't go away, so I thought, what the heck, I'll go back in and make an appointment to my ophthalmologist, my optometrist. I didn't even know these other positions existed because I was very naive to it all. And after many tests, you know, first of all, the optometrist asked me why I was back because I had the 20/20, asked me why I was back. I said, there's something on my eye, I need you to wipe it off, and then we'll move on, get back to life. And what he first did is on my right eye, my good eye, I dropped down to the bottom line, read it all. My left eye, he started with the low line, moved on up, and when I couldn't see that big letter E on the chart, he gave me that oh shit comment, and then all the tests the tests that he was able to do happened, and he said, I'm beyond my means. You need to see an ophthalmologist, which I then asked him, what do they do? So I learned a lot right away. When I finally got expedited and saw some of the ophthalmologists and such, and the story is probably very similar to many others, My ophthalmologist is a great doctor. She was very helpful, but she's never seen anything like this. And she, because every test came back negative, all of her eye tests, all the lights and everything else looked very normal. And she started putting me through some of the optic scanners and the field test and all that other stuff. And that's where my Uncle Gary is very interested because he did a lot of that. She couldn't find anything wrong. So she was confused. But she did order many, many blood tests because she thought, well, if it's not that, then it must be this. And if it's not this, then it must be that. So she's doing the process of elimination, which I appreciated, and had a pretty good attitude through it all because nothing was wrong with me at that point. All that was wrong was that my left eye couldn't see very well, just in the middle. And so I went along with it, and I approved all the various tests and such that that she was offering, most of them blood tests. And then within the first couple weeks, she quickly ordered MRI tests. And when I asked her why, she said it could be a tumor, and it could be, or it could be MS, and that didn't feel very good. So went and did that, and it was a little nerve-wracking going into that. Coming out of it, it felt awesome because they didn't find anything; nothing was wrong. So it was another thing that I ruled out, and it was another one that I got to, sort of give the air high five to people say, that's another thing that is not wrong with me. So, again, everything was checking out correctly. After scans of my carotid artery, because they thought it was a blood clot, and et cetera, et cetera. And, I don't want to get it down into details because I'm sure everybody's gone through many of these tests. But after each test, it was a little nerve-wracking because I found out what they were trying to test for, some odd things I'd never heard about. And what I found is that, again, nothing was wrong with me. And at my age, 57, I thought, this is awesome that I get this full deep dive check-in or checkup about my health that I normally wouldn't have had it not been for my left eye not being able to see very well. So I looked at it in that way, and that, at least I was getting a very robust, thorough checkup that I normally wouldn't have gotten other than the usual, turn in costs and check your blood and all that other stuff. So I was very fortunate in that regard, and I had great health care coverage, still continue to have that. But bottom line, still couldn't see out of my left eye very well. And she was concerned. After she ran out of a lot of different answers, she threw up her hands and said that she did have a colleague that she had as a professor from Stanford University. So she had contacted him and said, here's all his results. What can you tell me about this? And he's a neuro-ophthalmologist, again, another title that I never knew existed before. He quickly looked at it all and said the only thing he can determine that it might be would be Leber's or LHON. But I didn't fit the profile because I'm an older, or I should say more mature gentleman, right? So quickly after he mentioned that, what did I do? I went home, jumped on Google, and I researched everything about LHON I could, because I want to find out, number one, how do I get rid of it? How do I fix it? What do I need to take? What caused it? All those answers that I just need to fix it just so I can get my left eye to get better. Because I was still operational, right? I still had my right eye looking good. And when you look through both eyes, it still wasn't all that bad. And so one of the things I found was that there was this LHON site on Facebook. I quickly posted out there. There's also, the LHON call, et cetera, all this information. And Lisa quickly responded back to me via email after I applied to join, gave me a lot of resources to look at and try and read and understand. And I was in that research and information gathering phase because, I wanted to find out every single thing I could about this condition so that I can fix it and move on with my life, right? And in the meantime, my neuro-ophthalmologist ordered the infamous DNA test to confirm LHON. I didn't fit the profile, so he wasn't absolutely sure, but he's the only one that brought it up as a possible diagnosis. Right away, I just had a bunch of questions, as I'm sure you all did as well. You know, what if it's not going to be this, then what's that? And what's next if it's not this? And if it is this, then why? Because one of the first things I saw on there was, you know, that there's no current cure for it. And so that was scary. But again, I still only had my left eye affected. And some of the things I was reading is that the right eye would go. And sure enough, within two months, end of May, my right eye started showing the same results to that, which got to be real scary. I'm sure you all gone through that as well. And it felt very scary because, you know, you can't stop it. You don't know what caused it. And there's just no answers. You know, how awesome would it be to have, a manual in life where somebody would give you a manual to say, okay, if something like this happens in your life, do step 1, 2, 3, 4. And that doesn't exist, right? At least I didn't get a copy of it. So, I don't think I was depressed or anything. I was just a little bit, I was worried. I was worried about, what's this going to do for my job? What's this going to do for, taking care of the family? How am I going to support the family, pay the mortgage, that sort of thing? But all I knew is that I need to still march on. I still need to keep moving because stopping wasn't an option for me. I looked at this as not an endpoint. It wasn't the end of anything. It was just simply a marker in my journey in life. And really, it's sort of, I make it analogous to births and deaths and other major things in people's lives, right? They're markers in your journey in life. It doesn't really define who I am. It's just something that occurred during my life journey. But I did spend my days and nights, days and nights just researching as much as I could about this condition until I think I got the end of the internet one day. But I tried to find out everything I could about it. I was even researching foods, different things. You know, I don't take any medications and stuff, but I was looking at things I might have done in the past. Could it have been this? Could it have been that? Et cetera. And something funny, I was still umpiring baseball games, but when I was behind the plate, I definitely felt that I could see the strike zone. I couldn't see the balls hit down the line or the balls that hit to the outfield. I lost those. And so near the end of May, I felt that I wasn't doing the game any justice and I needed to bow out, even though I had quite a few commitments. So I had to go on the bench, so to speak. And that was a tough one because I was really enjoying that work. You know, I enjoyed that as a hobby, even though all you do is get yelled at. So, it was a lot of fun. And it is true, by the way, that umpires are blind, I guess. So here's one right here. But bottom line, like I said, is stopping was an option. I never missed really more than a day at work. I did struggle quite a bit to get things done, especially initially, because I didn't know anything about accessible technology or any Zoom text or screen readers or magnifiers or anything like that. I didn't know iPhones did all that stuff, the accessibility options. And I never knew any of that because I didn't have to know it. And it's very selfish, but gosh darn it, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that's out there. But, in those initial couple months, it was very hard because I knew I was starting to fall behind what I'm normally capable of doing. I'm very computer literate. I've always been prideful of how fast I am on different computer issues, building computers or working on them. Always been around computers, building websites and such. And for me not to know that I can do that quickly was concerning to me. So I didn't really feel like I was at a concern of losing my job, but I wanted to make sure I could keep up with my colleagues and such. I was driving near the end, but I reduced my driving to only going to the gym and local trips to the store. But my wife quickly talked me out of that because of a potential liability. And when I noticed that I couldn't see kids or bike riders on the street, I could see the cars, I just can't see the little things. Those are the big concerns. So I gave up driving and eventually sold my car within a couple months after that. Let's see. And quite honestly, you know, I'm one of the biggest crybabies around. There's a lot of tears on our side because, especially during that uncertain time of, you know, not knowing what the heck is going on and not knowing what the future was about. So there was a lot of tears between my wife and I, but we also knew that we had the strength to carry on. We also knew that we had the strength of our families and that it wasn't life-threatening, right? Nobody ever told me throughout all my tests that, you know, you only have X number of months or years to live. In fact, it was just the opposite. Through all those tests, I felt very prideful of the fact that there's nothing wrong with me physically, and I'm going to be around here for a long time to come. So I felt pretty awesome. So enough of that. So after the diagnosis, and that came officially, I think, around June timeframe, now I had the official diagnosis. And then that kicked off a whole other set of things, you know, visiting geneticists and, all these specialists that I'd never been aware of. And I was also able to meet with my local Lions Club, who turned me on to the Department of Rehabilitation, which is called in California. And, of course, that opened up a whole set of resources, again, like I mentioned earlier, that I didn't even know existed. You know, I joined this Facebook group and received, as I mentioned, a lot of information from Lisa and others on the Facebook group that I started asking questions. And this fellowship of, you know, brothers and sisters in this family of LHON was amazing to me. It was amazing that it was right there at my fingertips. I can't believe what it would have been like years and years ago without that connection. I think one of the early times I talked to a gentleman with LHON from Cleveland, he was a great resource to talk to because he talked to me about what it was like back when he first got diagnosed, and it was it's hard to hear, right, because we don't know how good we have it, so to speak, nowadays. And I often wonder, if it's been this much progress with technology, what's it going to be like in the near future for us all? It's probably going to be a lot easier for us, I would assume. But I've been very fortunate to talk directly with a handful of people with LHON on the phone, at least initially. A lot of people are reaching out to me and saying, can we call? Because that's our easiest thing, right, to communicate. And I always accepted that. And it was great because it gave me a tremendous amount of hope moving forward, I would say. I've also met up with probably about four different individuals with LHON, and it's all very circumstantial, thanks to Lisa, I think, in this part. I'm starting to travel now with my work and also in pleasure, and it just so happens on a few of those meetups, Lisa would say, hey, you know, so-and-so is out in Cleveland. I see you're going to Cleveland. You want to meet up with that person? And I do, and I, you know, initially I went into the first one thinking, no, it's going to be a 15-minute, how are you doing, who are you, okay, nice to see you, enjoy your life. And I think each one of them have been over two and a half hours, and with a lot of contact and a lot of, you know, bro hugs and such, also with, you know, a note that we're all going to keep in touch afterwards. So we all have been keeping in touch, and it's been great. I feel very fortunate to share my story with others, and anything I can give to some others that are recently affected, and if it helps them, great, because that's what others did with me, too, you know, when I was feeling alone in my journey and unsure of things. So sharing that experience, strength, and hope was really powerful for me, and that's why I love giving it back when I can. What I have found is that this is a very humbling experience. One of the biggest things I remember, one of the things my doctor had me do is give me an injection of some sort of low steroid, and I had to go into the cancer injection clinic. And, boy, that was something else. It was very humbling because, that's one of those experiences where you know that, hey, I don't really have it that bad, right? I may have a condition that I don't see very well, but these people are fighting for their lives, and that's where it really hits me. So I continue to go back to that space, as you know. One of my things with work, too, I did not want to go on disability. I was told initially by one of my people in management at work, they said, well, you're going to go on disability, right? I said, absolutely not, because I needed a purpose in life. I needed a purpose to wake up in the morning, get going, because I knew that my other option was to sit at home and stare at a wall. For me, I'm a go-getter. I have to be doing something all the time. I just need to be moving and have a purpose. So at least initially, that first 6 months or a year, it was work. And so I needed to get to work. I needed to keep going. I didn't want to be babied. I still don't want to be babied. I don't often use my cane because, I guess I'm a guy. I don't want to ask for help. I have used it on occasion. I will use it in the future on occasion. But I want to try and do things myself. Even if it's home improvement projects, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try whether it's getting up on a ladder or hanging Christmas lights or simple things like screwing in a screw. Doggone it, those are the hardest things to do right now. But, something that should take 5 seconds, if it takes 10 minutes, who cares? I get the opportunity to say, I did that. I did it all by myself. I know when I went to the handicap services, or I went to the low vision clinic and they offered me the handicap placards and everything else, I told the doctor, my legs work fine. I don't need a handicap sticker. Just leave that for others that need it. She ended up talking me into it and said, keep it for when you need it. But again, that just goes back to what I was saying is for me, I didn't want or wasn't looking for that help. I just needed something to help me with the computer where I do most of my work. Let's see. And so as far as that help and where I got the work, got the help from, started with the Lions Club. They found out that, those magnifiers really didn't help me as much as they help normal people. They quickly turned me on to the Department of Rehab, which amazing, right? It's slow. It's a bureaucratic situation, but it's slow. But they gave me access to a low vision clinic. Unfortunately, it was at Cal, which is a rivalry where I went, but so be it. Low vision clinic, they gave me all the tools and toys, as they call them, the CCTVs and this and that, and the binoculars. And they talked to me about different things to have at my work with the different colors of lights, lamps, keyboards. I was, again, very amazed at what was offered. They did a workplace assessment, and they offered me this software called ZoomText. Didn't know any of this existed, but, boy, when I tried it, I fell in love with it right away because that magnification just did so much more for me than just Windows magnifier, right, which is just painful to use. And then just using the screen reader capability was just great to be able to use. As I said, as far as driving, I stopped doing that in June, July timeframe, sold everything, and in lieu of that, I was told about this paratransit service that's in, I think it's in every community throughout the United States. And so paratransit is one of the few point-to-point offerings for disabled folks. And so I went down, applied for that, whole other story. But anyway, got the application for that, and I use that probably 2 to 3 times a week. Sometimes I'll use Uber on other occasions. And if it's nice out, I walk. I love walking. Sometimes I'll walk more than 5 miles home and such because I love it. It gives me that kind of downtime, quiet time, and it's good for staying in shape and such. Let's see. So you know, that's how I get around. My wife is just tremendous. She always offers to take me anywhere and everywhere without asking. Once I've told a lot of friends and colleagues and stuff, one of their first things is always, let me know where you want to go, and I'll take you there. And I'll be the first one to confess, I don't take people up on that as much as I probably should, which sort of takes away some of their empathy, I guess. But, you know, I sometimes I feel like I'm burdening them. But on the other hand, it's a great opportunity for conversation, right? I mean, how often do you recall back when you'd sit in a car with a friend and people are down, heads down, texting, checking Facebook, whatever, but you're not talking, or the radio's blasting, you're not talking. Now with our condition, you know, all that stuff is harder. So what's the one thing we still can do? We still can talk. We still can converse with our friends. And that's what I'm finding is my go-to. Like even on the Uber drivers, sometimes I wonder if they're speeding up just to get me home quicker, so I shut up. I'm back to traveling again. And I have to say a lot of that is as a result of one post I put out on the LH1 Facebook group. I knew I had the opportunities to travel with my job beforehand throughout the United States, and I stopped when all this happened. I didn't know what that would be like. It was kind of scared. I was scared because I thought airports are going to freak me out. I don't know where to go, what to do. And I put the post out like, does anybody travel? And, boy, I got so many responses. And just so much about the different support options there at airports. It was just amazing. So now I travel, you know, once, twice a month, and I love it. You know, I love getting around, and there's a lot of services. If I'm with a colleague, I just work with a colleague to get around. And if I'm by myself, I'll take, you know, a rail system over to the airport. And then from the airport, you know, sometimes I use a porter at the airport, sometimes not, if the signage is good. And everything's good, you know, and even getting on and off planes and such. People are so helpful. Biggest thing is asking for help. And as a man, it's one of the hard things to do. I did go back and start back in college and been taking some courses back in college classes. That was another aha moment because I thought, I'm mentally not stimulated because I can't read that much anymore unless I'm in front of the computer. So at night I found I was bored because I can't watch TV or read books. So I was driving myself nuts at home, and I thought, what if I could go back to school? And boy, again, that was another aha moment where you reach out to some of these colleges, it's amazing the resources that they offer. Note takers, you know, extra time for tests, et cetera, et cetera. It's just amazing on the stuff that we're still capable of doing. And then there's golf. And so with golf, I have to say probably within the first month or so after my second eye was affected, I tossed my softball bag and my golf bag into the trash because I played softball for 29 years and golf longer. And I thought, well, those are gone. Not going to ever be able to play that again, and it's a shame. And thank God the trash man hadn't come yet because I had gone on to the LHON.org site, and I saw that video down on the bottom of Jeremy, and it didn't make any sense. I kept on replaying it going, that doesn't make any sense to me. If you can't see in your central vision, then how are you expected to see a ball? I don't get it. I don't get it. I grabbed my clubs out of the trash, and the next day I asked my wife, can you take me to the driving range? And she was confused. Went to the driving range. It took a little while to find things, but without any expectation of watching the ball, I didn't move my head anymore. And because of that, I ended up playing a little better, I think. But, you know, I kept on going, going to the driving range more and more. I have a great group that I used to golf with monthly, and most of them were from my softball team. They told me to come on out. They'll team up with me and help me out, show me where to hit. I learned a lot from the videos that I've seen with Jeremy and some other blind golf organizations. And so that was my newfound hobby. I picked it back up, and it was just amazing that I could still play without slowing people down. I'm very fortunate that my oldest sister is very, very, very passionate about golf. She plays all the time, and that passion comes over to me because now that she's helping me, she loves helping and telling me where I didn't hit it straight and such like that. So I've participated in a couple of blind golf tournaments. I got to meet Jeremy, a couple others with LHON through those tournaments. And I'll continue to do that. Gosh, I know I'm probably going long, so I'll kind of wrap it up here. But, you know, my big thing is I like to experiment with the things that I think I might be able to do. You know, I'll say, well, I'm not sure if I can replace that wiring, the speaker wiring in the house, or I'm not sure if I can hang that that object in the house, that lighter, or dig that plant or rip out a tree. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to do what I can without asking for help. And then if I get to a point where I absolutely can't, that's when I'm going to ask for help. And that's kind of my MO, what I do. As far as things I miss, you know, seeing people's faces and smiles, really, it's probably on my number one list. And then being 100% independent, driving, reading books, going to baseball games. I'll still go to baseball games, but for me it was a cost-benefit thing. Didn't make sense to keep that season ticket holder thing every year because I wasn't getting as much enjoyment out of it as I could. It has nothing to do with the number of games that the A's lose every year, by the way. And I really enjoy playing softball and hanging out with buddies. But as far as my inspiration, I get almost all my inspiration from friends and family and coworkers. A lot of them say they're inspired by the things I do, but I get all my inspiration from folks like that are on this call, others that are affected, and as well as when I go to these blind golf tournaments, there's some people that have some pretty severe blindness, but yet nobody's complaining. Everybody's getting out there and having a great time and just laughing and smiling, which is really all it's about. It's not about winning any trophies and that sort of thing, but it's just meeting new friends and still feeling normal, getting out there and doing normal things and such. But that's where I gather my inspiration is from others who've gone through struggles and come out of it on the better side, and they're better people, and they're so hot. They're just amazing people. And what I've learned from that is that, you know, I don't want to isolate myself. I won't ever let this condition define who I am. And I won't let this condition take my spirit. So I would just say, you know, for me, I'm just going to keep on continuing on in life and keep on pursuing my dreams. I'm not going to let this little marker in my life journey adjust my journey. It's just going to be on my path, my path of life. So that's about it for me, I think. I'll sit on the call for a while and certainly open to any questions. Any other things that you might have?
Bob, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all that you have. I think you have a lot of fantastic things. I know you probably shared a million things for all the newcomers who have never heard any of these stories before, but I've been on most of the calls. I will admit I haven't been on every LHO and live call that's ever happened, but you even told me a few things that I took notes on. So thank you so much for sharing. And I will let everyone else know, for now, I am going to leave the all mute on so we don't have everyone with tons of noise there in the background. However, if you have a question and you would like to join in the discussion, you can press *7 on your phone and it will unmute you at this point in time, and we're happy to field your questions. For anyone who has difficulty finding *7 or anything like that, in just a few moments after we've had a few questions, I will open it back up to everyone. So at that point, you wouldn't have to do anything in order to ask your questions. But I wanted to try this first. So anyone with any questions?
Bob?
Hi.
My name is Zed. I'm from New Jersey. I was sitting here listening to your story with my wife, and she was in tears because your story and my story are almost identical of everything you've gone through. down to golfing. My passion is golfing. I just came back off of a 3-day golf trip to Ocean City, Maryland with my friends.
Awesome.
And I can just tell you, you know, keep your chin up, get out there, do things. This winter I said, what am I going to do with myself all winter? I went out and bought a bass guitar, started taking bass lessons so I could learn how to play bass guitar. So life goes on. We have a new normal. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
And
great
to
hear from you, Zed. Yeah.
It was good talking to you.
Absolutely. Keep in touch.
Thanks, Zed. We'll look forward to your concert in one of these calls.
Okay.
Others with questions there?
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Excellent call. Really love listening to you.
That's Wayne from Florida, by the way.
Wayne from Florida. Sorry. But I wish I had been taking notes because so many things you said really hit home. But, of course, so one of the things is putting a screw, you know, screwdriver and screw. You know, so many.
Yeah.
You know, I've had LHON since 1979. And, you know, so many times. It's just something so simple, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to put a screw in. But will you be at the conference this year? Or have you been to a conference?
I have not been to the conference yet. I've watched all the videos from those conferences.
But for the record, everyone, we have not paid Wayne for what he is about to say. Now go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to go there yet. But did you have anything happen to you prior to LHON, you know, a month or two, any kind of injuries or anything?
You know, I joke around that, and I say that it was the baseball fan's fault because, you know, how they yell that the umpire's blind. So I think it was just by association that I eventually became blind. but all joking aside, no. The answer is no. That's why it was so confusing. You know, and I searched to the end of the internet. I was going down to, is it the whey protein I'm drinking? Is it the balsamic vinegar? Is it too much salad?
Right.
You know, there's no answers out there.
No.
That's what I found. But I looked for them.
So have you thought about coming to the conference?
Yes, absolutely. I still am considering it. We actually have a work location out that way near Bethesda. And, boy, if I can kill two birds with one stone, it might work out.
Yeah, it's great. I would love to meet you.
Oh, likewise.
For those who are curious, the call this year, the conference this year is the 29th and 30th. Lissa, you may want to chime in. I think it's the Day on the Hill is the 29th, followed by LHON conference on the 30th. That's the Thursday-Friday combination, the last Thursday-Friday combination of June.
You're right. This is Lissa.
Okay.
You're right. The conference is on Friday, June 30th. Day on the Hill is on Thursday, the 29th, which is optional. And if you haven't registered yet, you're actually past the deadline. But there's the social welcome event from 5 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, the 29th, and then the all-day conference session all day Friday, June 30th.
Thank you.
Well, I'll chime in. This is Maria. And Bob, I could not unmute fast enough to get to the whole Southern California rocks.
Let me have it, where's that star seven?
I couldn't get it fast enough. But anyway, hey, repping California, all in all, right?
That's it.
Anyway, I loved hearing your story because I never really had. And, yes, I'm in the older group, if you will, of being affected at 50, and they do. They look at you like, yeah, you don't really fit the criteria. And you get tested for everything in the sun. Everything is okay. And they're like, yeah, but you don't fit. But maybe. So, yeah, I totally, your story is very, very similar to mine as well. And absolutely, if you can get to the conference, You know, I can't say enough about it. And the meet and greet is, I'll, you know, Wayne will chime in on this, but the meet and greet is absolutely one of the best experiences that you can have. The conference is, of course, even better, but all in all, combining the meet and greet and the day, the conference, you just can't ask for a better, you know, almost 48 hours with folks who understand LHON and who are affected. You just can't replace something like this. So I do recommend everyone, please sign up. You can still sign up for the conference. It's still the early bird rates until the end of May. So please consider it if you can. The more the better, the more the merrier, for sure. So anyway, Bob, thank you for being on the call. I've loved hearing your story. I hadn't really heard it. So, again, you know, we're like family, and, you know, you want to know your family.
Absolutely.
So thanks for coming on the call.
You bet. Thanks, Barry.
The meet and greet is like this phone call, but kicked up quite a few more notches. Like, you know, I love it so much. And you just meet somebody and you already know that person, you know.
Right.
Whether you've talked to them on Facebook or meet them for the first time and I've never talked to them, it's a great experience. I love it. And we got there, we just got there by accident last time. You know, we drive from Florida up to D.C. because that's where I'm from, Maryland. And we just happened to get up there around noon and there were many people already there. And Susie, my girlfriend, she would spot them out. Somebody's looking at their phone really close. So have a magnifier. And so we'd walk over there and introduce ourselves. So we were there from noon before the meet and greet started at 5 o'clock. And so we had already met many people.
I'll go ahead and chime in here and say that whether you can make it to the conference or not, we certainly encourage you to make it to the conference. However, if you're not able to do that, any opportunity – that you have to interact or meet other people who are somehow a part of the LHON community, it's nearly always, it is always worth that effort. I've met with people in the LHON Florida group who have now kicked me out of the group, but they are fantastic.
You're still in there. Come on.
They are fantastic people to hang out with.
You said you're grandfathered in, you said.
Yes, I told you I was grandfathered in. But honestly, any opportunity to visit with people who are part of this community in person, I can't vouch enough for it. However, with that said, I do want to remind everyone that we did just pass the top of the hour mark. So I'll take the opportunity to give a few reminders here that we have this call every month, the first Wednesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Next month will be June 7th. Well, as late in the week as you can get, June 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. There will be reminders via email and on the Facebook group. However, for any first-timers, we encourage you to call back. You will have a different experience with a new host, and we always have fresh new guest speakers. So really excited, and thanks for joining. And with that speed bump, I will go back to more questions that anyone has. Shortly, we will unmute the caller.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Hi, it's Carol.
Oh, hey, Carol.
Hi.
Nice.
Hey, really loved hearing your story.
This is my second sister, by the way, everybody.
Oh,
great.
I bring all my homies.
Yeah. Love you. And it was inspiring to me because I haven't really heard it all. So, if you want to go to the LHON conference, I'll be happy to make it happen for you.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Carol. Very nice of you.
Yeah. I love you, Bob.
Love you, too.
Okay. This is Lisa from Canada. You guys are making me cry.
Oh, my gosh. Me, too. Maria is crying over here. Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty incredible. Bob, I want to say your speech, I didn't really know a whole lot about you. I've seen you on Facebook here and there, and I have to tell you, very inspiring. You know, you hit home in a lot of things that myself, I'm on 14 years of this new life and journey, and like you said, it's just another mark in our life, and
sure.
Just to be part of this LHON group is truly beneficial. you know, we all know we're not alone anymore. And I will reiterate that the conference definitely is tremendous. It's beneficial. It's therapeutical. And I've met so many awesome friends, you know. So anyone, if you're maybe thinking about it, go for it. You will not be sorry. And, Bob, your sister is pretty amazing to speak up like that and support you the way she has, as well as your wife, and you should be very commendable and proud to have that support.
I'm blessed to have a lot of great family and friends.
Bob?
Yes?
It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris.
I just want to thank you. You just did the most astounding job tonight. It was very emotional for me to listen to you. You just put, your sentences were just so, what you said everything so perfectly about your journey. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but, I am coming up to my 5-year anniversary, and I was diagnosed at age 64.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to, I certainly was well out of the bell curve when I was diagnosed. So I would like to reach out to your sisters, and I'm not trying to frighten anybody or startle them, but just reach out to anyone on this phone call who's a female and older to say that be aware of the triggers and just be mindful of them. Because there was a history of this in my family, but I never, ever, ever imagined this could happen to me at my age and my being a female. So it's just something to be mindful of, to be aware of the toxins, you know, in your environment and the triggers of this disease. I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but you just
be aware.
Yeah, you just don't think this will happen to you. Like I said, I was 64, so you'd never know.
Sure.
But thank you so much for being so open. Your journey you said it so eloquently. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And Chris, this is Wayne.
Yes, Mike.
Weren't your brother or two brothers recently infected?
My there were four children, and three of us now have. My youngest brother got it at age 18. I came down with it at age 64, and my older brother was diagnosed 8 months ago at age 66.
Right.
Hey, Chris, this is Maria. I think that Bob would be a great support to your brother, Brian.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I really think that we need to connect them.
I do. I was thinking about that as Bob was speaking.
Yeah, me too.
My 66-year-old brother is still having a difficult time.
Oh, put him in touch. I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, I will. He's going to the conference, which I'm
okay.
So because he can meet all my friends. I love hearing the content of the conference because it's always so wonderful. But I also love going to meet my friends.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to meeting you again, Chris. Is Lance still on the call?
Wayne, I'm going to go ahead and unmute everyone, and we'll see if Lance responds then.
The conference has been unmuted.
Okay. With the exception of one siren in the background.
Oh, that would be me.
Noisy.
That's Lisa from Canada.
Hey, Lisa,
they're coming
how are
to
you?
Take me away, I think.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
If anyone else has any other questions, maybe people who remained muted during the other segment, now is a good time to answer those calls. In just a moment, if you are new to the call, I will unmute, or sorry, stop recording the call, because I know there are those people who would rather not have their voice recorded, and we welcome you to introduce yourself at that time if you'd rather. But first, are there any other questions?
Okay. My name is Shantae Peebles. I'm new to the group. I just wanted to introduce myself, and I'm from St. Louis. I was diagnosed at the age of 17, and I just want to say that I really enjoyed listening to your story.
Hi, Shantae. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we have a lot of similarities as far as our diagnosis. Listening to your story, it kind of it was very similar to mine. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, it's just good to know that there's other people out there that kind of went through the same thing because
absolutely,
you know, mm-hmm. and all of it was very yeah. similar. So,
Sunday,
how old are you now?
I am 38.
Oh, so you've been living with it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I was diagnosed in my senior year of high school.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you found the group. I'm so glad you found the group.
Yes.
You're going to really feel a lot of support here.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the group. We're really excited for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this has been a very big help, you know. It's very inspiring to hear everybody's stories and you know, this is,
so, Shantae, what Facebook groups are you on? LHON Facebook.
Well, actually, just this one, the LHON.
The main one?
Yes. Yes.
Because it's LHON to LHON, which is just for those who are affected.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, so you could go there and join up there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Wayne will let you in.
Yep.
Wayne's
you
the
in.
Admin on the group, so Wayne will let you in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely take a look at that one, too.
Yeah.
There's also
yeah.
the LHON to women group.
Oh.
So that's just women.
LHON affected women, right. You want to go LHON affected women, so it's just the girls over there.
Oh, okay.
Because the LHON to LHON group is a nice place when people want to ask, how do you put toothpaste on a brush?
Okay. She's been affected for a while. She probably already knows.
Well, it took me a few tries to figure it out, but yeah, mm-hmm. eventually.
Maria and I do it the same way. With I can't remember who else. So.
Squirt it
like
in your mouth first.
Yeah, the key
I'd
is
like
to put
know.
The toothpaste in your mouth first.
Right.
Put
she's
the tube in
us.
Your mouth.
She's
and...
one of us. She's in.
The first
yeah,
time, Susie, I've told this before, but the first time Susie, she came in the bathroom and I had the tube stuck in my mouth, and she's, what the hell are you doing?
Like, whoa.
I've been doing it
overdosing
for
on toothpaste.
I don't
toothpaste.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Wayne.
I'd like to know if anybody has a trick on how to find the start of the toilet paper. Like I never can find it.
Put it away with your paws on the floor.
We're not being recorded, right?
I think we
right.
are.
So, well, yeah, you
no.
are still being recorded.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was Wayne who asked that question, by the way.
And Andy, we're off recording, right?
No, you're still being recorded.
Oh, oh
wow. Well.
MG.
That's okay. I may go ahead and take the opportunity, since everyone's being all formal and polite and PC, I'll go ahead and turn off the recording so you can let your real
yeah.
selves show.
Too late.
Too late. Hey,
Wayne, seriously, I just spin the roll